you see some sad sights if you keep your old eyeballs peeled. Like, I see this sad little Volkswagen, you know, it's the back end is pushed in and the rust is rusted out the back fenders. There's tattered decals all over it. I mean, really a sad little scene. There's this guy sitting in there and he's sound asleep with a bottle of wine next to him. And he's got a bumper slogan that says, "Keep smiling." Think about that for a minute, Bill.
All right, everybody, let's dance.
You know, speaking of great sights, there's a guy that parks his VW. If you ever get around downtown at all, there's a guy that parks his VW, who has his VW painted with the exact kind of paint that was used by the Messerschmitts and the Focke-Wulfs, the German fighters of World War II. Now, not only has he got it painted in that style, which is a kind of a scruffy looking a blackish grayish mottled camouflage, but he's got the nose of it painted a bright yellow, you know, the nose that dips down. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but that's significant if you're an airplane cuckoo. He has painted the nose of it bright yellow, and on the side he has both sides on the side door. He has these two big black chevrons that are tilted. You know, if you imagine a chevron, it's like a PFC chevron. Well, if you tilted it, say, 90 degrees, these are two big chevrons that are outlined in white. This, too, has significance. And if you know anything about aircraft. And then he has on the rear deck of the thing, you know, like over the engine, he has it's all I can describe it is it's an escutcheon painted. It's not a decal. It's been painted very carefully. An escutcheon, an insignia, beautifully painted on the back there, see? And this guy goes driving around. I wonder how many guys know what the markings on that VW mean. Do you, as an airplane cuckoo, do you know what that means? Well, all right, I'll give you a clue. The yellow marking, the yellow nose, refers to a famous group of fighter pilots. That is a fighter squadron that was based on the Channel, and they were called the Abbeville Boys. Yes, they were Germans, of course. There was a very famous squadron in World War II, the Abbeville Boys. That wasn't really a squadron; it was a group. It was bigger than a squadron, but they were called the Abbeville Boys, and they were led by a very famous German fighter pilot, probably the most famous German fighter pilot since Richthofen. Okay? And what was his name? Well, did you ever hear of Galland? Adolf Galland, famous fighter pilot. And and the chevrons on the side mean that this VW is bearing the markings of a squadron, a flight leader. That chevron means he's a leader of a flight. Now, the escutcheon on the back, I'll tell you what it was. It's like a decal of a plaque, you see. It's not a decal, it's a painted plaque. It's about, 6 or 7 inches high. And it has a very thin, spidery, in the middle of it, it has a thin, spidery R. Very thin R. A sort of script R. What does that stand for? Well, that stands for the Richthofen Squadron. You know that even today in the German Air Force, they have a Richthofen Squadron. Do you know that? It's named after Richthofen. They bear that insignia to this day. So this little VW is a highly complex thing. You got driving around, you know. He's parked down there. I just wonder how many guys recognize that he's bearing the colors, see? And he's got this historical VW, and he just parks down there all the time, just like anything else. You know, he's parked there amid a rabble of Datsuns and, you know, Datsuns and old Chevys and Ford Galaxies, all quietly beginning to settle down into the mud of downtown. When you park a car in New York City, you know, it's just like, it's like throwing a beer can into the ocean. You may come back, I may not, you know, but it's immaterial. There it is. It just sort of gets pounded to pieces. eventually it just disappears totally right in front of the guy's eyes. And you accept this. But there's one thing. Tonight I'm going to do something. I have to do it. I just got to do it. It's springtime. I mean, summer won't be long. And we're going to have the invasion, so I might as well give a salute to it. Do you mind if I do this? It's beginning to spread out, and I would like to say that it started right here on our show. I suspect this is the first medium of public communication that publicly and in great volume gave real recognition to that little creature that lives among us forever and ever and will continue to live among us forever and ever, the cockroach. You heard it here first. Now everybody's talking about cockroaches. You know what I'm saying? I even see they had a guy interviewed on TV the other night now. He's become an expert on cockroaches the way Jay Fonda made the Indian scene. Yeah, you know, I'm predicting that within a short time now, there will be a whole spate of books out on how to deal with the cockroach. And the reason I'm bringing this up tonight is that one of my spies down in Texas sent me a great piece about the cockroach. Look at that. Isn't that a fantastic cover out of the Houston Chronicle? They have a magazine, you know, like we have the New York Times magazine. And that is a close-up. I'm holding it up there. That is a close-up of a typical male cockroach preparing to deal with your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Look at him. Isn't that a fantastic scene? It's a great color picture. And he's got a curious beauty at that, isn't he? Like some evil creature from out of the ancient primal swamp. But they've got a great piece. Now, if you want to hear more about cockroaches, I'm going to take the opportunity No, you got to know your enemy, so don't get bugged. Now, if you have problems, if you've ever conceded that the cockroach is a problem, you've got to know your enemy. Now, I am bringing this to you as a public service. He's doing a cockroach thing, I can't stand it. Friend, I'm sorry, we've got to face life the way it is. And that I suspect that relevancy, when you talk about relevancy, there is nobody that has not at one time or another dealt with a cockroach. You agree with that, Bill? And I would like to deal with it here. In the Houston Chronicle has a good piece. Now, I've often said that the real problems of our world are beginning to be discussed, not in New York, unfortunately. It happens out in different places until eventually it slowly seeps in, because we tend to become so involved in one problem here in New York that all the others sort of disappear. And one day somebody's going to start talking about cockroaches in this town, and this is a major thing in New York. For those of you who think you've got cockroaches wherever you live, you have not lived in New York. Fantastic. I mean, really. In fact, you move into an apartment in New York these days, almost any apartment, inside the cupboards, usually over the sink, you know, where you keep your jelly jars that you use for drinking glasses and stuff like that. Above the sink, there's usually a little tag, and the tag is the name of an exterminator to call in case of emergency. You seen that, Jerry, in apartments? Okay, well, that's the first time I ever saw that is when I came to New York. I never saw that anyplace else in the country where the name of an exterminator is kept alongside the fire department's number, the police number. Because some nights you're liable to come in there, you know, and the next thing you know, you're fighting them hand to hand. They're carrying you out screaming. You better have a number you can call quick. And they say 24-hour service. They'll come at 4 o'clock in the morning and fight them, you know, with flamethrowers and hand grenades and the whole bit. So it's a problem here. Now, I'm going to read this piece to you and show you what is happening in other parts of the country. If you think it's only New York, listen, this is Houston. This is, you know, down in Texas. And it starts up, the name of the article is The Invincible Roaches. And that's a good name. It starts out, it says, William J. Spitz is urbane, articulate, and debonair, a man who draws attention, tall, tapered like a marlin spike, silver-gray sideburns in the mod fashion, impeccably groomed. He gives the distinct impression an encounter with a Kansas cyclone would leave him only elegantly mussed. banker, stockbroker, industrial magnate, oil executive, head of a construction empire, government official, maybe the State Department? It is hard to type, Spitz, seeing him for the first time in a glittering bar in a restaurant, casually commanding the conversation in which he's engaged, obviously a man of total savoir-faire. Dash the Calvert's glass into the fireplace, friends. Houstonian Bill Spitz has just been named chief of the nation's cockroach killers. He's the leading cockroach killer in the country. He is president of the National Pest Control Association, any member of which can tell you everything you always wanted to know about Blattella germanica. Did you know that's the official name for the cockroach? We have the German cockroach in our country. But Blattella germanica. Blattella germanicas are the most serious members of the 2,400 species of cockroaches. It says, you have them, I have them. I'm quoting the writer here. The president has them. Do you know that the White House is now having a fantastic problem with cockroaches? Have you read about what's been happening in the Senate House? Did you hear what happened here the other day? How come I only read this stuff? The other day, a senator jumped up from his table, and he almost had a heart attack. He was so mad, he was eating in the Senate dining room, which is an elegant dining room. He was eating their famous pea soup, which is the specialty of the House, in this elegant dining room. He was eating it when all of a sudden, from somewhere, right into his soup, dropped a gigantic cockroach. And he jumped up, you know. Here was a guy who was known for his complacency. Here's a guy who's turned his head on every major national problem that we have had since the Mohegan Wars. A cockroach dropped right into his soup, and this guy was turned instantly into a total radical. He was turned instantly into a complete activist. And he jumped up. Somebody's going to have to do something about that. Yeah, something's got to change. And it's a fact. This guy flipped. And he tried to introduce a bill on the Senate floor the next day, somehow eliminating cockroaches. It didn't work. But nevertheless, they are all over the White House. And the president, I'm reading the article again, the president has them. They proliferate everywhere, in pockets of poverty, in River Oaks mansions, in posh apartment complexes. They seem to be even in the newest buildings. It says that many builders have reported that within 10 minutes after a building is completed, the cockroaches are already there. They just, he says, cockroaches, not Congress, have controlled the U.S. Capitol building since it was built. Not even the British could burn them out. One freshman congressman refused to return to Washington after his first term, choosing not to run again. Quote, I could fight apathy. I could fight pork barrel politics. I could fight overspending. I could fight the military. But I couldn't fight the damn cockroaches. I'm not going back to that office, he said. And that reminds me, this is WOR New York. Can't help it, friends. Hey, if you want to get away, come over here. Sneak it. If you want to get away from those cockroaches for a while, just bring that in there, friends. If you want to get out of that apartment for a while, I have the proper... I'm going to lay it on you here for $409, friends. I'm giving you all these different tours every night, and this is a groovy one. For $409, Lisbon, the Algarve, and Madrid. And $409. And that's not bad, you know, when you think about it. That TAP, the Intercontinental, and that includes airfare, you know. This is back and forth that includes the whole scene. TAP, the Intercontinental Airline of Portugal, have a two-week royal treatment tour that lets you just lay around in the sun, man. And you're on your own, too, if you want to go anywhere you want, you know. After days of sightseeing, shopping, nightclubbing, you're going to need a few days of lying in the sun on the Algarve's jet-set beaches. And then it's off to visit Portugal's fantastic neighbor, Spain, to spend a few days in Madrid. And, then you go and hang around Lisbon a while, and you have had 2 weeks that you just won't believe. Call your travel agent or TAP at 421-8500 for complete details. For the $409, you'll get round-trip economy airfare, and they'll fix you up with places to stay, a lot of good food. And for $409, man, you can't go too far wrong, you know? Yeah, thank you.
All right, you Chinese food cuckoos, have you tried the Great Shanghai? Let me tell you, if you haven't, you might have missed out on some of the most fantastic Chinese food in all of New York. Very few, and I'll tell you this absolutely straight from the shoulder, very few restaurants in New York have kitchens large enough to accommodate the number of chefs from all the different regions of China that they have in the Great Shanghai. They come from Cantonese, northeastern China, Sichuan, all over the whole area there. And you can have food from all these different areas of China in the Great Shanghai. Fantastic menu. You won't believe the menu. And I would like to suggest you try the Great Shanghai Sunday brunch. It is really great. They serve it from 11 to 4 Sunday. All you can eat for $2.75. It's a buffet. And children under 4 feet tall are $1.50. That's the Great Shanghai, Broadway at 103rd, and there's an IRT station right there. The Great Shanghai, Broadway at 103rd Street. It is good.
All right, everybody, let's dance.
We have Zip Kit with us tonight. And what this really boils down to is this, that it's a kit. If you have any skin problems, it's a kit. Comes with three proven medicines. It's produced by Dermacon. And the three medicines are Dermacon Skin Cleanser, which you do just exactly what it says with it, clean your skin, so on. They have a Dermacon Medicated Lotion. It's a complete system, you see. You use all three of these things in rotation. Use the Dermacon Medicated Lotion during the day. It helps soften your skin and so on. And then you use the Dermacon Medicated Cream at night. Put that on at night when you're going to bed to help heal and soothe while you sleep. And the Zip Kit contains no harsh peeling agents. It's gentle, round-the-clock care. So give it a try. They say you can give it a try for 30 days, and it costs less than 25 cents a day to try it. It's Zip Kit, Z-Z-Z-I-T-K-I-T, Zip Kit by Dermacon. And you can buy the Dermacon Zip Kit at Genovese, Whalen, Mac, Drug Guild, and other leading pharmacies. That's the Dermacon Zip Kit. It's General Tire's original equipment tire sale on the glass-belted Jumbo 780. Oh, bring it up big, 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 big. Oh, Blap, if you want a compact, intermediate, or standard-sized car, you can get this long-mileage glass-belted tire for only $25.50 plus tax. And all kinds of sizes, and a distinctive white wall tire is only $3 more. So mount your glass-belted Jumbo 780 tires today. The sale ends Saturday, May 13th, at the home of the big red General Tire G, your one-stop car care headquarters. Yeah, well, listen to this. You want to hear more about the cockroaches? There's a lot. No, you should know about it. No, I'm very serious, because I think the cockroach has become a major problem as the cities become more and more run down. See, I think that what's happening to our cities with everybody growing in all different directions, and the cities growing in population, which they have, plus the fact that people are moving out, you know, there's a whole middle class scene where they're moving out of the cities. It's leaving the cities to us, you know, all the cockroaches and stuff. And so ultimately the people who live in, you know, places out in Fairlawn, New Jersey, they don't know. They really don't know that the cockroach is becoming a major problem. They really don't. They say, what do you mean? You know, they don't see it in their little nice little Dutch blue kitchen, you know. So they assume it isn't a problem. But let me tell you, I would suspect, and I wonder whether you'd agree with me, Jerry, on this. I would suspect that among many things which reduce the morale of people who live in major cities, that the cockroach has to be one of the leading morale destroyers. I'm talking about morale. Would you agree with that? Because there's nothing... it's the truth. I mean, it really destroys your morale. And so it's assumed by a lot of people, I'm sure, that's assumed by those nice folk that have gone up to live in Darien, that the reason people have cockroaches is because they're dirty. So clean up the place, you won't have cockroaches, right? Is this what you believe generally? Most people believe this. This is a common belief. And yet, maybe you don't believe that, but a lot of people do feel this. All you have to do is go out and get some of those great bug sprays they show on television, and there's no more problem. Well, let me tell you what the problem of the cockroach is. that most people in the city live in apartments. Well, that's a big building. That means that there may be, in some buildings, there may be 100, there may be 200 apartments. Well, now, many of these buildings are very old. And so, in the walls of these buildings, in the building itself, not the apartment, the walls of the building, in all the areas where the wiring is and all this stuff is, these buildings may be 50 years old, there are trillions of cockroaches. So it doesn't do you much good to eliminate them in your apartment. You squirt the stuff around, and they retreat. You don't kill them; they retreat. They run away. See, they run back into the air shaft, and they wait until it cools off. You know, till the heat's off, and then back they come again. And sometimes they come back even more, because what happens is they develop a taste for bug spray. And they do. And so I'm going to read more of this thing. It says that cockroaches are bad bugs, according to this piece. They spread enteric intestinal diseases, viral and bacterial infections, eat up your groceries, dirty up your cabinets and closets, and stink up your pad. They'll even drink your whiskey if they can get to it. They love whiskey. Cockroaches are really total lushes. According to research entomologists, roaches will, every one, to the last roach, will tie one on if he can get to the juice. So, see, this is one of the reasons why people, you both hate roaches and you can't help but relate to them. Because a roach is very much human. He has a human quality to him. I mean, he loves to tie one on. Now, not many animals do that. This one, he will go looking for it. In addition to that, the roach is absolutely unflappable. This is true of human beings. No matter what happens to the human creature, he's back for more and doing it even worse. I mean, you don't think for a minute that we're going to seriously clean up the ocean, are you? You know, for all this talk of environment, you don't think that man is really going to seriously do it. I mean, oh, you know, that's not in the nature of man. And that's a sad fact, but it seems to be true. You know, I often wonder about people who throw beer cans and stuff out. You know, just it's endemic to the species. Do you agree with that, Phil? Just seems to be you can't stop it. He says, so keep the scotch and the bourbon bottles tightly stoppered. Sober, a cockroach is not much of a physical threat, as you know. Drunk, one of them can be worse than a monkey with a machine gun. They will really attack. Did you know that? Yes, sir. You get about 12,000 cockroaches that have discovered, somebody spills a little scotch on the floor, you know, maybe like a half a cup of scotch and leaves it there. 12,000 cockroaches that have been knocking at the scotch. They are absolutely aggressive. You cannot scare them away. They'll come right back at you and they'll bite. He says, if you wonder why cockroaches rule the world, consider that cockroaches have an edge on man in genetic technology. They are the oldest living creature in unchanged form. Did you know that? The oldest living creature in unchanged form. All species of them. They have not changed. They're the oldest creature. Roaches have been around more than 300 million years. Now, if you don't think that's a long time, when they first went up to the moon, they found ancient rocks. And they were delighted to find that some of those rocks were 300 million years old. You know, at the time when we first went to the moon, there were a lot of theories that the moon wasn't much older than 300 million years. That's how long ago roaches were around. So you got to put that in perspective, 300 million years. And you know that the roach was the first animal to fly. It was not a bird, it was a roach. 200 million years ago, the first roach took off. It was a cockroach. And it was a cockroach of the Blattidae family, which of course is the roach family. And they even have fossils of the first cockroach that flew around. And cockroaches are smart. They have been able to keep ahead of man's efforts to do them in. They have, during their history, successfully resisted all snakes offering apples. Men have won victories against cockroaches. but never any wars. Paleontologists have discovered fossil... Listen to this story. Listen to this. Paleontologists have discovered fossilized impressions in European caves where Neanderthal man clobbered cockroaches with a club. They were fighting them in the caves. The early... So they, you know, when you're fighting a cockroach, you're joining a long-honored procession. You're just part of a battle that's been going on forever. The cockroaches were still around after the Neanderthal man finally disappeared. In 1892, cockroaches scored their biggest victory ever, defeating a brigade of U.S. Army infantrymen in a fair fight. And it was the only time on history, on record, that cockroaches ever fought fair. The Washington Cockroach Corps at that time congregated... You hear what happened? The Washington Cockroach Corps at the time congregated in large numbers in a Capitol area restaurant favored by the nation's salons. Brown banded roaches and broad girth boondogglers dining on the same fare. Big fat congressmen eating in the same place with the roaches, drinking the same wine. For dessert, the roaches ate the congressional record. It is not... They ate everything. It is not known to this day whether the cockroaches took a dislike to the chef or whether someone slipped the roach house speaker a bad bottle of Burgundy. But the roaches suddenly left this place en masse. Millions of them. It's a famous story. Did you ever hear of it? Millions of roaches left this place at once, on one day. A dark river flowing across Pennsylvania Avenue. Millions of roaches toward a government records building. The roaches were attacking a government records building. That is a roach blitzkrieg. President Benjamin Harrison ordered out a brigade of troops to stop the advance of the rebel roaches. It was butts and muzzles, bayonets and boots for hours that were fighting the roaches. But it was to no avail. The roaches took the building. They still have it. The roaches infest the U.S. records building in Washington today. The U.S. Army gave its report on the incident to the Smithsonian Institute, the closets of which were full of skeletons. When the Smithsonian achieved status and could afford a skeleton keeper, it finked on the Army. It's still all on record there that an Army outfit was defeated by the roaches. Incidentally, the Smithsonian has a fantastic roach problem itself. In 1945, because the regular military forces were exhausted from whipping the Japanese, the Germans, and the Italians, Congress called on J. Miller, a Brooklyn exterminator, better known as Killer Miller, to rid the capital of his roaches. Miller's chief weapon was an anti-roach powder, a secret formula he concocted himself, the A-bomb of pesticides. He sprinkled it in every drawer, office, and closet. The cockroaches ate it up like good cake. They loved it. Capital secretaries are still getting the fallout from Miller's stuff. His stuff is still in drawers. When one opens some file drawers in the Capitol, Killer's compounds zap their clothes. "We can't get rid of the cockroaches," says George Hayes, an official of the Capitol office. "We have a new breed now around that you would not believe." That's an interesting subject. That the cockroach is one of the most incredibly adaptable creatures ever. In fact, in most roaches common in our area, that is in where we live here in New York, we have the German cockroach. The Germans say they've been bad rep because the roach does not actually come from Germany. It's just somehow got the name German cockroach. They don't even have it in Germany. But nevertheless, that's what they call it. The brown banded roach, a gift to the U.S. from Cuba. The American cockroach, these are all different types. What type do you have in your house? The brown banded? Or do you have that plain brown one? Now, the brown one is the one that most of us have. That's the German cockroach. The American cockroach, by the way, is a total fantastic drunk. The American cockroach is called the American cockroach. It's a beer hound. And that's the one you'll find in most bars. And the Oriental cockroach, and the Chinese claim it was a frame-up, is the biggest of the local cockroaches. And that's here in New York. But there are dozens of other species, ranging in size from tiny, overweight fleas to cockroaches over 2.5 inches in length. They eat and pollute anything man eats. Some roaches in the tropics and the South Pacific attain a fantastic size, with wingspreads up to 7 inches. During World War II, a group of airmen on a Pacific atoll training for carrier duty encountered a fantastic nest of the monsters. One pilot began shooting the insects with a .45. "Kill them all," roared the squadron commander. "If they get airborne and join up with the Japanese, we'll lose control of the air." Cockroaches are snobs, by the way. They have a distinct caste prejudice. They will not interbreed among species. So if you find a German cockroach, it will not make the scene with an American cockroach, a different species. If you find an American cockroach, forget it. It looks down on the Oriental cockroach. There is also evidence that cockroaches are subjected to severe psychoses. They're nervous. They're very human, you know. There's a lot of human qualities in them. They drink. They have psychosis. Dr. L.S. Ewing, the eminent zoologist, claims that cockroaches cannot stand to lose a duel. Now, most people tend to think that the human being is one of the only truly aggressive creatures. Can't stand to lose and all that stuff. Cockroaches cannot stand to lose a duel. In studies recently conducted, 50% of the cockroaches who lost a fight with other dominant male cockroaches died from the stress and strain of losing, although none of them had been physically hurt. They just sat in the corner and sulked, you know, finally passed out. I mean, what are you going to do once you've lost? Chemists have for centuries worked on pesticides that could kill cockroaches, yet not be harmful to man. The latest concoction is a coconut oil compound that they're working on now. But it turns out that if you eat enough, the cockroaches, supposedly, if they eat enough cocktail made out of coconut oil, their legs will disappear. There's now a new legless group of cockroaches who've developed who love coconut oil. They just walk around on little stumps, apparently, and look for coconut oil. But nevertheless, cockroaches are you know, a real scene here in New York. And I'll tell you some stories. I shouldn't tell you these. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are going to get bugged about the cockroach. You know, you tell a cockroach, and instantly I get a lot of letters from ladies about them. But the cockroach is I suspect, almost primarily an urban creature. Well, yeah, he does. He goes where man goes. And primarily where he hangs out. And the more that man is congregated, obviously, the more you're going to find cockroaches. I mean, just, you know, one leads to the other. But I will never forget the time I saw, I mean, the first time I actually ran into a tropical cockroach, unbelievable, if you think you've seen cockroaches. It came in Florida. I was with this, you know, it was in the Army. First time I saw one of these babies. I couldn't believe my eyes. I really couldn't. It was so fantastic, I couldn't believe it. I'm in a tent with this guy. See, there were two of us in a tent. We had just arrived from the north. We'd been sent down to this place. See? And it was warm. It was middle of the summer. And we're quietly putting together our blankets and stuff. We had these two cots. That was a permanent tent, see, and they had these two cots in there, so we're putting our bedding and stuff down there. And so finally the lights out blue, and it was about the first night, actually one of the first nights I'd ever spent in the tropics. And I crawled into my sack. We had our mosquito netting and everything down like that, see, and we're lying in the sack, absolutely silent, pitch black. There wasn't a light anywhere, and it was silent. And nothing can get as silent as a tropical night before the bugs start howling. Just total silence. So silent you can almost taste the silence. It was velvet. Lying in the sack there. Suddenly, in the tent, we hear this. It just goes. Weird sound. Now, it did not sound like any insect. It sounded like a model airplane. You know the sound of a rubber band-driven model airplane? It makes a sound. It's a sound that always remains the same. They all sound the same. It goes. It's a propeller going around. And Gasser, who's on the other bunk, he says, "What the hell is that?" Stop. It was loud. I said, "I don't know what it is, Gasser." He said, "It sounded like a model airplane." I said, "Nobody's flying a model airplane in a damn tent." He said, "Well, somebody is. I heard it." Lay there for a couple of seconds, not moving. Wanted to see if it started up again. Dead silence. Nothing. And finally, Gasser says, "Why don't you get up and see?" I said, "What do you mean, get up and see? Why don't you get up and see?" Laid there for a quiet second or two. Then he says, "Well, you got the flashlight." I had a flashlight. Each tent, by the way, was equipped with a flashlight down there. And the flashlight had been stuck in my mosquito bar. So I slowly crawled up and I reached down to the bottom where the mosquito bar was tucked into the bed. And that was where I had the flashlight stuck down so it would be out of my way. And I reached down, there it is. See, I take the flashlight. And then suddenly Gasser says, "Don't turn it on." I do. "We figure out where it is." I said, "Well, I couldn't tell where the hell it is. It just went flying around, whatever it is." Gasser, "I think it went over in the corner there by the barracks bags." I said, "Okay, Gasser. Now look, you open up your mosquito bar. You're over on that side. And be ready when I turn on the light." And he says, "Okay." So I fumble with the switch. I flipped it on, and that bright light cut through that blackness just like a knife, just pow, over to the corner. And I could not believe what I saw. It was a fantastic sight. Pow! Good God Almighty. There, crouched in the corner of the tent on the wooden floor, was one of the most fantastic, regal insects that I have ever seen in my life. In fact, the most regal insect up to that point that I had ever met. Good God! That cockroach had about 50 times more presence than the colonel that was in charge of our entire battalion. This was at least a 3-star cockroach. Gigantic! He was about the size of a medium-sized rat. And he just sat there with his feelers pointing up into the air. And he stood up on his hind legs and looked me right straight in the eye. And Gasser says, "Good God, what is it?" At first, neither one of us could believe what it was. It was so big. "Good God, what is it?" I said, "Gasser. Gasser, that looks like a cockroach." He said, "You out of your mind? A cockroach? That thing's the size of a small puppy." I says, "Gasser, I'm sorry, that's a cockroach." He says, "No kidding, a cockroach. What do we do?" I says, "Gasser, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to stay right here in my mosquito bar, and I'm going to hold on to this flashlight. If he comes over at me, I'm going to start fighting, and if he gets any closer, I'm going to use my carbine." He said, "But you can't shoot your carbine off here." I'm sorry, Gasser. If that guy gets a hold of me, I'm going to use my carbine. I don't give a damn what the sergeant says. I'm going to use it. What do you think they give it to us for? We lay in our tent with that light on it. And then, this is the worst part of it. The battery begins to go out. The battery begins to trickle out. It's getting dimmer and dimmer. I said, "What am I going to do?" Gasser says, "Well, preserve the light. Turn it off. We're liable to need it if he comes back with friends." So I turn the light off. We lay in the bunk. Dead silence for about maybe about a minute. And then, with a majestic sound, it sounded like a C-5A taking its takeoff run. You could hear him skittering across the floor, and then... He's circling, you see, he's getting his altitude. and out into the night through the open tent door. All his landing flaps out there to give him additional lift. I could hear his landing gear coming up. You could hear it coming up into his thorax. The majestic three-star general of all cockroaches took off and proceeded to move out into the night, possibly there to form up with the rest of the squadron and quite conceivably to bomb Tampa. Gasolator noises. My God. I never would have believed it possible. I said, Gasser, I'm coming to the conclusion that there are stuff in this world that neither one of us could even imagine exists. And so tonight, we have taken the opportunity to salute the cockroach, a worthy enemy of man, and I mean of all men, a worthy enemy of mankind, and quite conceivably, and this is something that has bothered me for a long time, I'm becoming convinced that that famous passage in the Bible that referred, if you recall, to the inheritors of the earth, do you recall what the Bible said would inherit the earth? What? That's right, the meek. Up to this time, almost all the people who read the New York Magazine, quiet little sensitive people who go to plays, figured that they were the meek, and ultimately they would inherit the earth. Modern theology is beginning to re-examine that passage in light of the actuality of what is occurring. Oh, boy, there's a theme for a science fiction story for you. You know, it's 7 million years from now. Man is but a faint, fossilized memory. And everywhere you see the great spires, the magnificent edifices of the roach cities. And thousands of them will be moving up and down tiny turnpikes with their little tiny roach cars. Millions of billions, trillions of roaches. And of course, by then, there will be concern among the roach world that something else seems to be bothering the roaches in their little apartments. There has... it just gets out of hand after a while. You just go on and on like this. You never get nowhere. So that ends tonight's salute to Rune Arledge. But, by the way, that's a suggestion for the American sportsman, or the ABC Wide Wide World of Sports. Howard Cosell kills roaches today for 15 minutes, coast to coast. Life tends to be like that, honey.
The news in detail on the hour from WR 710 on your dial in New York. Lester Smith reporting. What's left of the provincial capital of An Lac in South Vietnam was hit today with more North Vietnamese artillery fire. American forces countered this latest assault with the war's biggest concentration of B-52 bombing raids. As the North Vietnamese moved their tanks and ground soldiers on An Lac, over 60 B-52s dropped tons of explosives on the advancing forces. And although South Vietnam's military command in Saigon, only 60 miles away, reports 85% of An Lac destroyed, President Chu has ordered that provincial capital's position held at all costs. Field reports have more than 400 North Vietnamese and South Vietnamese soldiers killed in the past 2 days of fighting around An Lac. From the waters of North Vietnam, no reports yet of any ships trying to get through the American minefield. The Kremlin issued its response today to President Nixon's decision to mine the North Vietnamese waters. Moscow said the action was fraught with serious consequences for international peace and security.